Wednesday. Today is August the 21st, and you're listening to My Farm. Once again, the Defiance County Fair rolls on. It is day five, and we will take a look at some of the activities going on. We're also going to continue our visit with Dr. Ben Brown. He is an ag economist at the University of Missouri, talking about some things to be looking for in the future, maybe signals to pay attention to in the economy. We'll have details of that and more after this message from our sponsor.
Sponsored by Seed Consultants, simply the best value in the seed industry. Learn more at seedconsultants.com.
We're going to pick up this Wednesday morning where we left off yesterday, visiting with Ben Brown, ag economist at the University of Missouri. Ben has some thoughts on the grain markets and the livestock industry.
When we look at the largest corn deficit area in the country, we're looking at the southeast part of the United States, North Carolina, South Carolina, Georgia. You know, it's fun if you think of North Carolina as a corn importer. So let's just take North Carolina, make it its own country, and think of it as an importer. It would be the seventh largest corn importing country in the world if it was its own country. And so moving that product into that region is really important given the challenges that they've had this year with production. I think they'll turn to the Eastern Corn Belt to draw some of those supplies in. And that should help improve basis values across Ohio and other parts of the Eastern Corn Belt.
Talk a little about the farm bill, if you will. Just give us an update.
So they've broke for the fall recess. It's going to be, you know, near impossible to get anything done before the election. We've heard some rumblings about something during the lame duck session after you know, the election and before the new Congress starts in January. I think it's going to be hard because there's always, basically what happens is there's a list of priorities that come through at that period of time, and there's only time for maybe one or two of those. And we haven't been given any indication that the farm bill is going to be one of those one to two priorities that's going to happen during the lame duck session. You know, as I look into the spring in 2025, it's even hard to see farm policy making much headway there. Congress is going to have to wrestle with some big tax debates, and that's going to consume a lot of energy within the U.S. Congress, even if it's a completely Republican-controlled Congress. It is unlikely, it's possible, but it's unlikely that Republicans are going to have 60 total senators in the Senate. And so, you know, you need 60 votes to get a bill passed in the Senate. And so it's possible that that's just going to consume all the available time and energy to pass policy early 2025. So
give us a quick summary, maybe some things for farmers to think about moving forward.
So it's going to be tough. There's a couple of years here. I don't think this is surprising really to anybody. You know, we're looking at a tough financial outlook the next couple of years. We've already started to see that hit some of the capital expenditures, right? Like equipment sales are down 20-25% year over year, quarter, you know, compared to a quarter last year. We see farmers making those management decisions. And certainly that's impacting the total ag economy. When I think about what producers can do, it's to be disciplined. It's, you know, to build those partnerships with people that are going to have your back during the good times and keep you disciplined during the good times. And so that's where we're at, right? We're coming out of a period like we haven't seen in a while. And we're getting back to low margins, higher interest rates. It's not a pretty picture, but hopefully there's opportunities for producers to make some money at different points over the next couple of years and help shore up some financial statements. So,
again, our guest today, Ben Brown, ag economist at the University of Missouri. Stay tuned. We'll be back with more after this.
Williamson Crop Insurance, home of Decision Max. Decision Max allows you a simple solution to analyze your operation and make informed marketing and crop insurance decisions to mitigate your risks. Manage your whole operation in one place with the ability to blend counties, marketing, and insurance coverage to give a complete overview of your operation. Williamson Crop Insurance, protecting the Eastern Corn Belt since 1980. Learn more at cropcoverage.com.
Thanks, Joe. Well, changing directions and taking a look again out at the Defiance County Fair. It is Wednesday. That's Senior Day and Veterans Day, so a lot of activities going on. Of course, tonight in front of the grandstand, they have harness racing, also mutton busting taking place in the show arena, and the Northwest Ohio Premier Market Lamb and Goat Pullin' Show taking place. So a lot of different opportunities for a variety of entertainment. Well, taking a look now at some other agricultural headlines, the USDA has its summer crop production updates out, and the inclusion inclusion of data sets previously part of the fall time USDA crop production forecast resulted in some interesting information in the August report. USDA's Rod Bain gives us the details.
A unique August report from USDA. Chief Economist Seth Meyer says what made this month's crop production report significant is the addition of data sets previously submitted later in the year.
It's a bigger month than it has been historically, and part of this is the move by NAS to introduce the FSA acreage earlier into the production estimates. It used to be October before that FSA data were complete and to the point where they could use them reliably in estimating production. Improvements to the FSA data have pulled that forward September last year and now August this year.
Combine that with the first yield estimates of this year's summer crop, and there were some notable numbers. For instance,
corn, still not the highest production number, the third highest production number, despite the fact that yields jumped 2.1 bushel an acre from what's our weather-adjusted trend yield.
Soybean production is forecast at record high at nearly 4.6 billion bushels, fueled by both increased planted area and expected record yields.
Interestingly, also lost nearly a million acres of wheat when it comes to winter wheat, down a little over 300,000 acres. Our spring wheat areas, both Durham and other springs, down more than 600,000 acres.
And cotton production is expected up 25% year over year. Meyer says just as interesting as the USDA production forecast with the new data sets included is how trade projections compared and how markets reacted. Using corn as an example,
NAS estimated corn production at 15.1 billion bushels. That's right in the middle of the trade estimate. What did the trade base that upon? Did they do well on yield and area estimates? Because they lost over 700,000 acres of corn planted area from the June acreage report to this estimate. With that, we see corn futures up a little over 6 cents.
As for cotton,
below trade expectations, and not by a little bit, by probably below the bottom end of trade range by 700,000 bushels. And part of that coming up from a loss of cotton area of more than 500,000 acres. So a 500,000 acres less cotton area than suggested in the June acreage report based upon FSA data and yields not much changed.
I'm Rod Bain reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
Thanks, Rod. That's what's making agricultural news on my farm. For my 102.7 WMYW, I'm Dusty Sonnenberg. You have a great day.